Heyo, it's another episode of the Not Combination Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That is JT Holton. JT, how you doing, buddy?
I am splendid. How are you, Ken?
I am back.
How was vacation?
Well, is it really vacation when it's your in-laws and your kids are, no. You know, around and, like, there's kids sleeping in the room?
The truth
with you
is, as fathers, we are not going to have a true vacation for about the next, let's see, we both have one-year-olds, but next 18 years.
That's probably true, yeah.
Once our youngest are off to college, then you and the missus can then take a real vacation and be like, peace out, y'all.
And by then, I'm probably too old to actually do anything
you'll
that
be
I
one
actually
those,
enjoy.
You know, you'll be playing shuffleboard on some old person's cruise.
I'll be driving a 34-foot RV bus with a little, you know, Lincoln Town Car that I'm dragging behind it that makes it 58 feet, so it's like I'm driving a transfer truck with no qualification to actually drive any of it. That's pretty much the way. I got to ask you, though, JT. I went to Myrtle Beach with the fam. Like, the in-laws got a condo there, so free is free, so you go where free is friendly. You know what I mean?
Free is a good thing.
And so I go to the Myrtle Beach, and their condo's, like, right downtown. We're literally, like, three blocks from the pier and the Gay Dolphin, the gift shop, the Gay Dolphin, if you've ever been to Myrtle Beach. And so the strip is one road over from their condo, and you can see everything, all the trucks and stuff passing, and then they'll turn around and come back down the road in front of the condo. So at night, all over the beach are these 40 and 50 thousand dollar jacked up trucks. Okay, they're practically brand new, most of them. Okay, like I'm talking like these are like King Ranch Ford style trucks, right? Jacked up.
Right.
But here's the thing: they're only jacked up in the front. The back is let down, so the back almost drags the ground. I swear, there's like a 4 foot lift kit in the front. The back is almost dragging the ground. And I guarantee you, I'm not kidding, JT. If I saw one, I saw 125. There had to be 125 different trucks I saw that way.
What is all right? That, somebody from Myrtle Beach needs to let us know. Is that a popular thing there? Like, what is that?
It apparently is. They all have light kits underneath the bottom of them, right? So they've got like these fancy glow kits under the wheels, in the wheels, under the end of the car. Which, I got to be honest, doesn't look absolutely terrible if you're trying to be like a beach cruiser kind of thing. But then they got the truck jacked up.
Yeah.
So, like, it looks like it looks like I put a load of cows behind it and busted the shocks on a one-ton pickup. You know what I'm saying? Or like a three-quarter-ton pickup. You know, like how you've seen
we
them go down the road with, like, busted shocks. Yeah.
Yeah. We call that a cattywampus is what that is.
Yeah.
It's cattywampus. Here's the thing. The King Ranch is too nice of a truck to mess with. That's taking a Lexus
like,
and like lowering it. Yeah. King Ranch is a luxury pickup truck. It's got the kangaroo leather interior. Like those things are nice. That's not something you mess with.
$80,000 truck. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Take your standard Tundra. Maybe your GMC. Maybe just your regular old F-150. Silverado is a perfect example. That's fine. But when you start getting into the luxury end of things, that's like buying a BMW M3 and lowering it to the ground. Dude, that's not an Integra. This isn't a Civic. Like, you're a grown-up. Stop doing that. This is now a grown-up car.
And what was weird, man, I just, like, then, so that it's obvious they've got a good bit amount of money in the truck. They've probably got, you know,
they have debt. That's what they do.
That's probably true. But they got like $2,000 in the light kit underneath it, maybe even more, right? It's a really fancy light kit. They probably got $6,000 or $8,000 worth of shocks on the thing. And then they've bought a $20 set of glass packs and put on it. So the car sounds like a blown out butthole going down the road. I mean, like, that's how it sounds. And I'm like, what are you people doing? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. Why? Just stick with the Mustang. Save yourself a little money and just stay with the Mustang. Why do all this stuff? You know, like that. You got to understand that these are the people whose dream as a kid was to own a Mustang one day. You know,
right.
Like,
that was
a goal. That was a bucket list item. I've never understood
and
that.
Not a 65 Mustang, like a
no.
Like
I'm talking
to own like a 2001 Mustang kind of thing.
A Mustang, you know, and listen to like Three Doors Down while they, you know, have their Mustang or Trick Daddy or something. I don't get it,
My Chemical Romance.
These are people that still wear stud diamond earrings and a polo shirt and lots of cologne. That's who
I would, you know, I would understand some of this if it were ethnic. Like if all the drivers were like a, if it was a Latino thing, you know, like you see Latinos with the whole, whole car culture with the airbags.
I think it is a cultural thing. It's rednecks though, right? I mean, these are all.
Well, there was Latinos. I saw black people driving it. I saw white folks driving trucks like this, like all kinds of different people. And like, I know you can be a black redneck and a Latino redneck. There's no doubt. It's weird to like go to Myrtle Beach and see 125 different trucks all exactly like this. And it wasn't just trucks, JT. Let me take it. Hold on to your britches. They had Tahoes and expeditions done this way. Like with, expedition, like what's the other big one? What's the GMC big one?
Let's see, there's a Suburban.
It's like a Tahoe.
That's the Chevy.
It's the slightly smaller than the Suburban. Yeah. Yukon. I saw a Yukon with the front end 4 feet off the ground and the back end was nearly touching the ground. And big old tires, like this is like they got big old like 20-inch tires on it at least, maybe bigger, 20-inch rims, maybe bigger, and then it jacked up this way. Like, I don't understand it.
Why?
Well, look at who look who chooses to join us. It's the one and only Rhubarb Brown. Josh, I was just asking JT how in the world it is that I have missed out on the craze of trucks and cars being jacked up in the front and lowered in the back. I just went to Myrtle Beach and I saw 125 different vehicles done this way.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
Oh wow. That's crazy. I'm glad you survived. That sounds terrible.
I wondered, I got to be honest, fellas, and this is probably not the most politically correct thing to say, but hey, we're not combination. We don't always say the politically correct thing. And this is what I wondered, fellas. I wondered if it was from the oversized women that appeared to all be riding in these vehicles that the back was so near to the ground and the front was jacked up so high. It seems to be an attractant. Like if you're an oversized woman, you're like, hey, I get in that car and like nobody notices if it goes down at all. Like maybe it's like a pickup thing. Like this is a new pickup man thing. Joe Diffie setting the trend here. It's like, I had my pickup truck jacked up in the front and low in the back, So
what you're saying is Bobby Joe Gentry, the homecoming queen, has let herself go over the years. That's okay.
Yeah. Now, Joe Diffie just talked about being a pickup man. I don't know if he...
Oh, he definitely
I
didn't.
If he addressed the...
But let's be...
But I'm pretty sure he would like his truck to be a truck.
Well, I think you reach a certain age where even lifting your truck is kind of like... If you need it for, like, a work obligation, that's one thing.
Yeah,
but like if you don't, I go to a parking garage sometimes. I need to go to Burger
if
King.
I
need to be able to fit another thing. You know?
Yeah, right. If I go to Pigeon Forge and you cruise up and down Pigeon Forge in like your 1954 coupe, you know, or something crazy, like I respect that. That's like you're the old cool man. You know what I mean? Like I see that. But why do you cruise up and down a strip? When there's it really wasn't even that crowded, with your car jacked up weird. I don't get it. I'm old, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't. You mm-hmm. sent us a picture, maybe a video, and I saw like some jacked up trucks with like neon lights. And honest to God, I mean, I come from the South. I come from redneck Floyd County, but I've never seen that.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it looked like some weird futuristic. Like Florida Georgia Line thing that I don't know about.
Yeah, like they are. The Braves apparently, this is a new trend because I just looked it up online, and the first hit says,
"Oh, no, so it is new." Okay,
that we need to ban unevenly lifted trucks. Everyone agrees this obnoxious truck trend has to go away. Well, I mean that's true, but not everyone agrees. Man, I don't know. This apparently makes out like it's for extreme off-roading, but I don't believe it. I think it's for stupidity.
You're not taking a King Ranch extreme off-roading.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
No.
I'm not. Yeah, for sure. Here's
nobody
a link.
Really goes extreme off-roading anyway.
I sent the link.
Like
in the
going through some mud
there.
Puddles is not extreme off-roading.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Put a little mud on the tires.
I put the link there in the sidebar. You guys can check that out at your leisure and see what crazy.
My favorite part of that song is that Brad Paisley had to wait for a loan from the bank to purchase a Chevrolet pickup. Like, dude, well, you've had three albums out. Come on, like, it's a Chevrolet pickup.
I'm sure that, wasn't.
You put like $500 down, they'll give one to you. You know?
Well, fellas, you guys beat All Around the Bush the other night, and then the second you closed the episode, the Braves went ahead and DFA'd Mike Foltynewicz. I'm on a one moment. Let me deal with a child. I'm on a podcast. Get in bed.
Yeah.
Now.
Hey, Jocelyn.
Wow. Is Cynthia up?
Hey, Avonlea.
That was Avonlea.
8:30.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, sorry.
Cynthia's not home from work.
Tell
yet,
Cynthia, so. I was just kidding. Yeah, so I've got some thoughts. This is a very weird, yeah. Like contentious subject on Twitter right now because there's a lot of people who talk about him like
he's their best friend because
like
he responds to tweets.
You know, right. I view him, and here's my hot take, as a baseball player, and I don't really know about his personal 100%. Life, nor do I don't really care. He just seemed like he wasn't very good, and this was kind of his last chance, and Brian Snitker was like, hey, man, you're done. And I think that's all there is to it. Maybe there's more to it. I don't know. But like he clearly lost some velocity, and it really was he got beat up in some exhibition games, obviously last game of the season last year, you know, so I feel bad for the guy, but
well,
like,
I mean, for
on a personal
a couple
part,
things, just
like, a baseball player, I don't know.
To like clear the obvious out of the way, he lost a lot of weight. If you compare pictures of Folty now to pictures of Folty when he was kind of, quote, what you want to call it, at his prime, he looks like he's down probably 25 pounds or more. His eyes are kind of shallow and sunken. Mm. His velocity's down. And so, I mean, we were at the beach, and my father-in-law, who's been on the podcast here with us before, he was watching, and he said, when did Folty lose all that weight? Like, he said that before early in the game before anything went wrong. He just asked me, and I was like, I don't really know. Has he lost weight? Because, like, when you watch all the time, you don't really notice as much. And then I got to look, and I'm like, yeah, he really has lost a lot of weight. So this led people on Twitter to jump to the conclusion that he might be on some kind of drugs. And so I don't really know how you make the mental gymnastics. I think what it is, though, Josh, is I think it's what you were saying, that people on Twitter want to believe the best about a person, which is weird that this is believing the best. But rather than – that's true.
It depends on who it is. It's group. It's like a herd mentality. So if a few people with some Twitter clout – you know, hate, we just use him as an example, like probably all the time, but like hate Markakis, then really like you, a normal person with a fully developed frontal lobe should like Nick Markakis because Folty himself, the person that you love on Twitter, loves Nick Markakis, has a picture of him in his locker. But for whatever reason, Folty has been humanized because of Twitter. They think that they know this guy because of Twitter. Markakis is not. I think if Markakis was on Twitter and responded to like a couple of tweets, it would be like, oh,
no,
my
no,
God,
no,
he's the
no. He would probably say,
world,
like,
you know?
Elect Trump or something. They'd all hate him. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah, he would. He would probably say, hey, the reason I opted out is because I thought there was going to be this really weird Black Lives Matter opening ceremony. I didn't really want to be involved in it. But I'm back now. So go Braves.
Probably so. But, okay, so here's the thing. I will be 100% honest. There actually is legitimate reason for someone to question, is Folty doing something unhealthy? Whether that be drugs, whether that be taking care of himself inappropriately, whether that be not doing workouts. Like, there is plenty of evidence to question what is wrong with Michael Foltynewicz. Like, there's nothing wrong with asking that question. I don't even think there's anything wrong with speculating and saying, I think he's on drugs. I think it's weird to say that. I think coming out and saying that to everybody in public is weird, where there's, like, no factual evidence whatsoever to back you up. But you're a fan. You're allowed to think weird things about people. And let's be honest, it's not like baseball has a real good track record of pitchers not doing drugs. So, that being said, I think you're doing a lot of mental gymnastics to go to, I think Fulte's on drugs, to not just say, I think Fulte sucks. Like, why don't people, what is it about us that we don't just like saying Fulte sucks?
Because he's on Twitter and they think that they know him on a personal level. And there are people on Twitter that they kind of, and we, I think people operate like Twitter's real life. And obviously, I mean, we know that it's not. And so I think they have this
but,
weird
but how do you even get to, like, because it's almost like the extreme of that, though, Josh. Like, saying he's on drugs is somehow easier to say than saying he sucks. You know what I mean?
Well,
or at least implying that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, saying implying that he's on drugs, you can use a little bit of moral superiority and kind of, you know, if you play that card, saying he sucks.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If he was on drugs, you're saying we pull for a team that would rather just fire a guy than get him any sort of help? You know what I mean? Like, he's on drugs, and they're not going to do it. They're going to, number one, they're going to make sure he's okay and get him counting. And like, oh, well, you know, like, there's no way to keep a lid on that. If he was on drugs to the point where it cost him to lose 30 pounds, he would have been suspended at least once for something.
Yeah,
it would be a lot of smoke to that fire.
I mean,
even
positive drug test, most likely. Probably.
Right. Yeah, because you're not smoking weed losing 30 pounds.
You're
doing hardcore
opiates.
Like,
but that being said, okay.
I'm talking big.
So defend, I'm going to defend the other side of that, JT, just a little bit, because Jose Fernandez had never had a positive drug test that we know of. Tyler Skaggs never had a positive drug test that we know of. You know, Brandon Beachy never had a positive drug test that we know of. You know,
did Brandon Beachy do drugs?
Not Brandon Beachy. What's the other guy's name?
Tommy Hansen.
Tommy Hansen. They came up at the same time. Sorry. Tommy Hansen never had a positive drug test that we know of. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear the stories later that he had his demons and this kind of thing, but, like, you didn't hear that at the time. So,
they also were not on any type of drugs that would cause them to lose 25 or 30 pounds. Now, Tommy Hansen, Jose Fernandez, we know they did cocaine. We know because of toxicology reports. Skaggs, we know he was on fentanyl was the main culprit.
Yeah.
Fentanyl you can get in a lot of different ways. A lot of times it's in synthetic heroin. And what that is that's a hardcore opiate. If you're taking
it's
a 30 pounds.
It's an elephant tranquilizer, let's be honest. Like, that's really what high-end fentanyl
and so if
is.
If the weight loss is your key to the drugs, that means you must be doing probably meth, some hardcore opiates like a fentanyl, a heroin.
So don't get me wrong.
Thing.
I am not saying Fulte was on drugs. That is not my argument. My argument simply is I don't think him not popping a positive drug test is necessarily proof that he doesn't do drugs.
No, but it would have to be an extreme case for him to lose the kind of weight. It would have to be an extreme, not just like every now and then I like to bump a line of coke and, you know, kind of thing. It would be an extreme drug problem where you couldn't keep it under wraps. He would be missing starts. He would be no-showing. He would be, you know, missing...
Yeah.
You know, practice and stuff like that. And we've never heard a single sniff of that at all.
So what do we think it is? Well, let me throw out some things and you guys tell me what you think fits, okay? So first of all, obviously his velocity was down almost 3-4 miles per hour. It's not good. His weight's down. So this is what I think it is. I think Mike Fultonevich isn't a very smart guy. I don't think he's ever been a very smart guy. I think he's kind of dumb, to be honest. In fact, I've heard that he's so dumb that he probably couldn't get on the team bus to get to games if somebody didn't basically hold his hand to do that. That was from a reliable source. On top of that, the dude eats chicken nuggets and French fries, and that's all he eats. Now, I'm not one to criticize someone of that because I myself went through a long period of my life where pretty much all I ate was chicken strips and French fries. But look, I'm also not trying to be a professional athlete while doing that and pitching in Georgia's sun and heat. So this is what I do know. There was a time I did P90X. I know you guys probably don't believe that, but I did P90X one time.
Wow.
I lost one time? I did it for a whole round.
Oh,
of
I think
it
meant like one time.
No, I went through the 90-day thing of it. I lost 45 pounds in 30 days. And it's intense, and, like, it's sweating, it's exercise, it's all this kind of really hardcore stuff, probably along the lines of what a professional athlete has to do most days. And the thing I found out was I couldn't eat chicken nuggets and French fries, not because it made me fat, but because I simply didn't have the energy to make it through the day, and I would lose weight eating chicken nuggets and French fries. Like, but I wouldn't have enough energy to actually play the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, to actually do the workouts, I would do what he calls bonking and, like, bonk in the middle of a workout and just crash. Like, you feel like you can't go on. So what I think happened, and Mike Fultonevich has also made it clear multiple times that he hates lifting weights. So you get the COVID-19, send everybody home, right? There's no accountability on Mike Fultonevich whatsoever to come in and do his workouts or to eat any sort of specific diet plan. So Mike Fultonevich blames his wife actually is now blaming the Braves for not providing more assistance to him in this way, basically.
Wait.
She is. Because
is she really?
She was defending people talking about
drugs.
Hang on.
Whoa. She really is. She's blaming the Atlanta Braves for
he's 28. He's 28 years old. He's 28.
Shut the fuck up. I'm sorry I cuss. I've been really trying
you will.
Hard
it's okay.
To stop. I'll never do it again. Shut
seriously,
up.
Seriously. But the reason she did this was because she saw where people had insinuated that he was doing drugs. And so her defense of him not doing drugs was that he had been at home with COVID, with kids, and having to do his workouts all by himself. Like, exactly.
Stop.
This is my take, exactly.
Stop.
Michael
this
Soroka.
This proves your point. He's dumb.
Michael
he's
Soroka,
dumb.
Although he does
he's,
not have kids.
He's just a dumb guy.
Michael Soroka looks bigger and bulkier and stronger. They just commented last night in the game about the upper body strength than Dansby Swanson. He looks bigger in the upper body. Now, granted, he doesn't have kids. Is it harder to work out at home when you have kids? Yes. But it's your job. Your job is to wake up and work out. That's it. Like, that's really it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go to office for 8 hours.
Right.
You don't have clients to call. You don't have meetings to go to. That is your job. And if you don't have the self-discipline, what I think happened was this is something that has been brought up before, and it's been brought up several times. And when Fulte showed up, they knew what they were getting into. When he showed up and he was leaner and lighter and had not worked out and had not
Anthopoulos
done anything but eat chicken nuggets.
In an interview yesterday, Anthopoulos said, "We've talked to Fulte about his weight in the past, and it's been a problem that he hasn't been able to keep up his game weight." And to me, that implies that he's undisciplined and won't follow the plan that they've given him. He won't lift. He won't work out. And to be honest, guys, I think what it really comes down to is I don't think Mike Fultonevich likes playing baseball anymore. And I don't know that I even blame him. I think there's a lot of guys that can throw, and because they can throw, they get pushed into playing baseball. And, I mean, it's hard to blame them because they're making millions of dollars. But I think he's tired of baseball, and he doesn't want to do the work it takes to be really good at it.
Well, that's the old cliche is, you know, how bad do you want it? It takes extra. You know, the difference between extraordinary and ordinary is that extra. And you have to put in the work. You have to put in the extra effort. You have to do all those little things to be great. Are some guys okay with being C students? Yeah, of course. I was. I was all right with that. Like, I want to put in the extra work. I could make a B just by showing up. And I was cool with that. Some guys have that extra drive to be the best of the best of the best. We're watching one of them pitch tonight. I believe Mike Soroka is that kind of guy that he puts in the extra work to be the top of his – he sees pitching as a craft to master, like Bob Ross on a canvas. He sees it as an art form that he wants to be the best at it and wants to master the craft. And that's an awesome thing. Not everybody has that, and that's okay. But that's the difference between a guy who's going to be a midline starter and a guy who's going to be a perennial all-star. Is putting in that extra work. Could Fulte show up on his raw talent and do some things that most people can't? Yeah, of course he can. But if he's not willing to put in effort, there's a fine line between being the third, fourth, or fifth starter and AAA.
Yeah, 100%. I think even what you're talking about, JT, I think it shows up a lot with guys that are like Fulte, and that is they don't have to apply themselves because they have a lot of natural talent. So, Fulte has been able to just always just out-throw everybody else. He's got good movement on his fastball. He's always just been the fastest to the top, not because he was the smartest guy in the room, but because he had the best talent. And I think then he hit the pro level, and that talent doesn't win. Talent will take you a long way, but it requires more than talent to be like a monster at the major league level.
It reminds me of the big-time defensive end that comes out of high school and goes to college like a Jadeveon Clowney. who never had to learn technique, or the big offensive tackle, that just because you were 6'7", 300 pounds, you didn't have to learn the finer points of the technique because you just took the guy in front of you and moved him.
Well, but even then you came
to the big leagues. Yeah, Tim Tebow's a fine example. Always just the best athlete on the field, but never had to learn the finer mechanics of being a quarterback because he didn't have to. And then you get to a certain point where, okay, now I've got to learn. Now I've got to adjust. And
it's not just heart and hustle. Like, it's not like Tim Tebow has the heart and hustle part, but there's an actual craft that is not talent. And I don't think Folti has the craft. Like, imagine this for a moment, guys. And I want to think about this like in our own personal lives some too. But imagine this for a moment. Close your eyes and think about Mike Foltynewicz starting a game. It's Mike Foltynewicz against the Washington Nationals, right? And Trey Turner is up at bat. What, is he leading off the game? Probably so. Trey Turner is leading off the game. Mike Foltynewicz prepares to throw him a 1-2 pitch. Do you think it ever goes through Mike Foltynewicz's mind, 1 second, the pitch I throw him right now will affect the pitch I should throw him in the fifth inning?
No, not at all. No,
that's a great way to put it, and I guarantee
let's change people.
Not a thinking man's
pitcher. Let's change people. Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, Mike Soroka, Tim Hudson. Do you think?
Not even those guys, but I would venture to say, and this is a little bit of a hot take, probably, but most pitchers actually would think about that next pitch. I think most, not all, most pitchers are.
I've heard Joe Simpson and Don on the radio talk about this, and they say there's a difference in a pitcher and a brain-dead heaver. And Mike Foltynewicz is a brain-dead heaver.
Yeah.
He's a thrower. I would love to get Leo Mazzoni's unfiltered comments on Mike Foltynewicz. Because Leo would have an aneurysm trying to watch this guy, because you have to have – it's not about just throwing heat. It's not about just overpowering guys. There's very few Randy Johnsons. Snit said something I thought was revealing the other night after Newcomb's performance. In the postgame press conference, he said, "I don't think he realizes how good he is and that he doesn't have to be fine."
Yeah.
And it made me realize, okay, there's a reason that sometimes a Tom Glavine has to pitch the way a Tom Glavine does, and there's a reason a Randy Johnson can pitch the way a Randy Johnson does. And not everybody can be a Randy Johnson. Okay, and he said, man, Nuke doesn't realize that he has some overpowering stuff and can be dominant. He doesn't have to paint the corners and be fine.
Randy Johnson had to learn that too. If you go back and look at Randy Johnson's first year and a half, he was terrible. He had like a 6.7 ERA or something stupid. He was terrible, and he had to learn how to pitch as himself. John Smoltz, complete head case, overthought everything. Like, he was thinking in the first inning about what pitch he was going to throw on the first pitch to try to set someone up for the pitch he was going to throw in the ninth inning, and all of that, he was so complex in his brain that it messed everything up, and he had to get a sports psychologist to make him think, okay, what pitch am I throwing now? Kind of thing.
My point with that is, if you're going to pretend you're Randy Johnson on the mound and that you're just going to overpower people with your stuff, You better be built like Randy Johnson. You better be built like Roger Clemens. You better be a horse out there, because that's not the way 98% of the pitchers can get it done. Most pitchers that's why they call it a craft. You have to learn how to do it. It's not just athletic ability.
Josh, I bet you and JT can count on – let's see if we can name some. Of pitchers that are Hall of Fame type, number one aces, that just – blow your doors down, really good aces. I won't even put Hall of Fame on it, but aces through your career that you think of.
Overpowering stuff?
They were a strong number one ace. Strong number one ace, and not just for 1 year, but I'm talking like 6 to 10 year career, okay? Something lengthy. How many of those were brain dead heavers that you know of?
Not many.
None. Pedro Martinez, even the Rocket, Roger Clemens was not a dumb person.
Be dumb, but
I'm talking about like they're dead.
He's not baseball dumb. You know,
not baseball. Like,
Randy, right? Randy Johnson, not dumb. Even guys like Tim Lincecum, Roy Oswalt.
Halliday's a great example, because Halliday, most people don't remember, but he had to restructure the entire way he pitched. There was there was a pre-injury holiday and a post-injury holiday, and these are two totally different guys. And he had to – I can no longer get guys out with 98, 99. But that would used to be Halliday when he was with the Blue Jays. Was a guy that could light it up. And as he got older, he had to completely rebuild himself. It was much more of a scientific use a lot of split fingers, almost like a Mariano Rivera as a starter. Where he had to kind of rebuild his arsenal to get guys out.
Can you imagine what a guy like Josh Tomlin or what's the guy that pitched for the Washington Nationals last year, Anibal Sanchez?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what they would do with Mike Foltynewicz's talent?
Oh, right.
I mean, Anibal Sanchez is up here throwing junk. I'm talking about he doesn't have anything left as far as power pitches whatsoever, and yet he's just getting dudes out, you know, because he outthinks everybody. It's wild.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, man, imagine – Smoltz was on Dan Patrick the other day, and he they talked about him. He played golf in the offseason with Maddox and Clemens, and – he asked him, he said, if you could combine the three of you guys, what would you combine? And Smoltz said, leave me out of it. Just combine Maddox and Clemens together. And then you've got the best of power and the best of control, and you'd have the greatest pitcher that ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You'd have those two things together. And he's absolutely right, because I can't think of two pitchers I'd blend together more than Greg Maddox's precision and the power of Roger Clemens. I mean,
okay,
what would you do?
Somebody told me,
like
Bernie Pleskov this week tweeted that Gerrit Cole is what you just said, and that he's a better pitcher than Greg Maddox. And I told him
a real
hot
take
right there.
I told him he didn't have the talent of Greg. But he couldn't sniff the talent of Greg Maddox if Maddox was pissing on his leg in the shower. But, you know, it is a question. Like, for one, I don't think Cole's been around long enough to know what he'll be yet in the long run.
No.
Not, I mean, he's definitely good. Don't get me wrong. But as far as his legacy, I don't know what that'll be yet.
Cole, and I'll leave this up to other people who know what they're talking about, but Cole, much like the guy I'm watching pitch tonight for Tampa Bay, Charlie Morton, was a pretty decent pitcher until he somehow got a lot better pitching for the Houston Astros. Maybe that's our old friend Mike Fast. Who knows? I'm not sure. I'd like to hear what Trevor Bauer has to say on the subject. But Gerrit Cole was a middling guy with Pittsburgh. He was pretty decent. He was a high draft pick, and it was okay. He's had some, you know, a little bit of talent. Yeah. You could see it there. But all of a sudden, he becomes a much better pitcher when he goes to the Astros. Cole is also a guy that is just – that's the salary cap era that we're playing under. Like, he's the best pitcher, free agent. He's going to get a huge contract. Is Gerrit Cole that good? I've got no idea. I have no clue. But is he Greg Maddox? Absolutely not at this point. Call me in 10 years. Is he Roger Clemens?
And,
no. Call me in 10
years. And that was like Pleskov said that Cole just had – if Maddox – Cole's what Maddox would be if Maddox had a good fastball. And I'm like, well, that just disqualifies my opinion of you to begin with, because I think Greg Maddox had one of the best fastballs of all time. He just didn't throw 99 with it because he would rather it dance 3.5 feet across the plate than just blow it by you. But
what good's a fastball if you can't – locate it, you know. If you can't locate your fastball, it don't matter how fast it is.
I've heard people say that Greg Maddox in training could hit 99, but he never threw that in a game.
What?
I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that.
No way, that can't be true. That can't.
I've heard that
because he would do it just. You hear Maddox a lot of do it just once.
You hear a lot of rumors, so who knows if that's actually true? But that's what I've heard, is that he could hit 98, 99 in practice, but that he never threw that hard. I don't know. Okay, let's move on, Mike. Just like. Mike Foltynewicz has been DFA'd, you know. Let's DFA that subject for a bit. That does leave the question, though, fellas. Sean Newcomb, Kyle Wright, other young guys are going to have to step up in this rotation. What do you think? So, what do you think is going to happen with those guys? Well, I mean, that's where I don't.
Oh yeah, great analysis. Kyle Wright needs to learn how to be able to.
He's got the mohawk, which I think helps him.
I'll give him credit. He must be smart. Right, he went to Vandy, so he's got to be a smart guy.
I think of an athlete.
Kyle Wright.
He did not go to Vandy.
Kyle Wright.
I thought you said Kyle Wright.
Sean Newcomb.
Oh, yeah,
I thought
it's
you
Kyle
guys
Wright
said
Sean
Newcomb. Sean
Newcomb. We were talking about both.
Both of them need to learn how to get out of like
Kyle Wright
three
does
innings.
Not have a mohawk. Nuke has the mohawk.
And that's part of learning how to pitch.
I think a little bit of that, too, and I don't know how much they were calling from the dugout, but it did feel like they got a little stupid with some of their calls. He was working real well off the fastball, Kyle Wright was, and then they got – at least I was listening on the radio, so I wasn't watching that game on television. But on the radio, they made it sound like he went away from the fastball and got hung up on the slider and couldn't locate it at all, and that's what got him in trouble.
Hey, well, he said he was having problems because he's not allowed to lick his fingers. And that's issue for him.
Okay. I can see that.
Also, keep in mind having very, very green catchers behind the plate.
Sure.
That's not a small factor at all, either.
Speaking of which, those guys did a fantastic job. But those guys did do a fantastic job. Yeah.
I'm excited for the rest of Contreras' career in the Braves.
Well, Josh, we've been talking about Contreras for, what, 4 years now, saying that we thought he was going to be a stud? It's just a matter of how long were they going to season him before they brought him up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting on Christian Betancourt to be the catcher of the future. Was he no longer here? Is he gone?
He's gone. He's a pitcher now, isn't he?
I don't think he worked out. Yeah. They tried to flip him to be a pitcher.
Speaking of guys
Brewers
with bad work ethic that never learned their craft. It'll be interesting to see. I think they're making out, and at least Snickers talking the game, that they're not going to lean too heavily on older guys, that they're going to let these young guys go out and get reps. So to me, this is a crazy season anyway, and as much as I'd love for the Braves to be super competitive and go win the World Series this year and all that stuff, there's a part of me that thinks this is a great season to put those guys out there and see what you got. Let them pitch, let Weigel pitch, let Bryce Wilson pitch, let Tukey get stretched out and give him 3 or 4 games as a starter at least and see how he does, you know, see if any of them stick and run, you know, Tucker Davidson, all those guys. I think they're ready is the thing.
I feel like they're going to go with a veteran, though, because the rest of the pitching staff is just so young and you need somebody to settle things down and
Snitt
somebody
said
that can
not.
Navigate 6 innings.
We'll see. Snitt said they want to put the young guys out there. We'll see if they do it or
all
not.
Right. Let's roll.
I hope he does. I mean, I hope they do.
Yeah, all right, Josh. I mean, the ceiling is higher on those guys, but yeah, sure.
Josh, I know you like to check out sometimes when we get too detailed on Brave stuff, so I'm going to ask you something, though, that I think is of more interest to you, okay? Last night, did you see Joe Kelly go after the Astros?
I did. I just saw your tweet. I didn't realize
he's been suspended for 8 games for throwing at the Astros. Didn't hit any of them, is my understanding. Didn't even hit a player, did not get tossed from the game, and yet he has been suspended 8 games, which in a regular season, that would convert out to 22 games if you were doing a regular length season. It would be a 22-game suspension. How you feel about this?
I hate Major League Baseball. I think it's a bunch of social justice warrior, massive wusses that don't have a damn clue about their constituency and even their own employees. I think they want to think that all these guys are a bunch of social justice warriors, and then nobody kneels. Nobody kneels. And then mm-hmm. a guy gets thrown out? Not thrown out, I'm sorry, suspended for such silliness. I mean, we want to erase any resemblance of like masculinity or aggressiveness from baseball, you know, and these are grown men playing a highly competitive sport. There's a lot at stake. This is a lot of money, you know. I followed Freddie Couples once at a golf tournament, and I'd never been to one in person before, and I followed Freddie Couples for 18 holes, and to see how him and the guy that he was paired with, I forget who he was, operated like blew my mind, because it wasn't like watching your two buddies play golf. They were so zoned in, and they didn't even like they didn't even know that we were there. They were in their own element, and they were very, and if they made any little mistake, you could see that they felt it. And the reason they felt it was because there was a lot at stake. There's a lot of money involved in these things. It wasn't like me and you playing golf, like a lot. Their livelihood is at stake. So these guys are the same way. Their livelihood is at stake. They're playing on live TV, this competitive sport, and this other team cheated, and it's been proven they cheated. I mean, they should, you could argue they should be banned from baseball. You could make that very strong argument. And so he strikes the dude out and talks a little bit of junk and gets suspended for that. We've lost our mind. I love baseball. I'm going to keep watching it and I'll probably bitch about it forever. But the Major League Baseball absolutely sucks. My hope is that one day it'll maybe the pendulum will swing, and maybe in 10 years, I don't know, man, this far left, like, just social justice warrior just mindset that controls stuff like this will go away. I don't know. It's sad. I didn't know.
And
he
what's
got
funny is Joe Kelly's like a dweeb.
Are you kidding me? Wait,
like,
what?
If you watch him, he's not. He wasn't like super cool or anything. Like he's making like third grader faces as he walks off the field. Like he's not even. And now he's like a cult hero because you suspended him for the equivalent of 22 games. You know, like
baseball is so
dumb. And it used to be.
They're so dumb.
Okay, so you're not going to suspend any of the Astros for cheating, right? So what used to would have happened if you'd have done something like this is last night there would have been a good brawl. There would have been some punches thrown. There would have been some people angry. There would have been a black eye or two, and you would have had a good reason to suspend a few players for, I don't know, maybe two or three games, right? Something small like that. But now, because you can't touch each other and because you can't do anything bad and all you can do is yell and scream at each other and they don't even like you doing that, now this thing drags out, and you know what will happen the next time? These two teams face, the Astros will now try to hit the Dodgers, and the Dodgers will try to hit the Astros. And this will go on and on and on and on and on and on. And it won't just be the Astros and the Dodgers. Eventually, it'll be every team thinking that they need to hit the Astros again. And it'll just drag out rather than being like, let's just punch the heck out of the Astros one game and get it over with. And then everybody's like, okay, vengeance kind of done. I'm over it. Let's move on. You know? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it is what it is. It just highlights the fact that none of the Astros got suspended, which is ridiculous.
Yep.
That's the biggest ridiculous thing. I would love to see the Marlins throw at the Astros. I wish they, like, played this year, because it would be cool to see if the Astros ever retaliated, because they probably don't want the Marlins close to them at all. So that would be kind of fun to watch, because I'd be afraid that, like, the Marlins would be a blitz-clearing brawl, and they'd come over and, like, breathe on everybody. And everybody gets struck down with the COVID, you know. That's kind of like a big thing the Marlins have going in their favor. If anyone tries to scuffle with them, they can just be like, everybody be like, okay, I'm sorry. All right, fine, whatever. I don't care as much about the Joe Kelly suspension as I do about the fact that it highlights the fact that the Astros totally did not get suspended at all.
Well, Joe Kelly has been suspended 8 games, the equivalent of 22, and that's more than all the Astros players combined. You know, so
and that's it's insanity. 8 games in a 60-game season is ridiculous. Like, make them sit, two, whatever. But stop with this.
Yeah, I agree.
It's.
And it's not like Joe Kelly's a starter, so you don't have to, like, suspend him a whole bunch of games to try to, like, miss a start for him or something. You know, like, if he were a starter, I would have less problem with 8 games, because that just basically means he misses one start. You know, like, that's
right. That's
not a big deal to me. But he's not a starter. He's a reliever. So that's stupid, you know.
But I get it with the six. I do understand with the 60-player pool, like, you can make it work. You know, you can find replacements. But still, it's just. It only serves to highlight the fact that Rob Manfred did nothing to the Astros. And so every suspension you get for throwing at the Astros looks even worse by comparison. You know. So. We had some other news yesterday.
What did you have?
Wasn't there a guy that was opted out, but then he wanted to opt in?
Yeah. I don't know who you'd be talking about.
I'm
kind of upset about it because now.
I can't remember his name.
Because now this lineup is basically not Snitker proof anymore. And, I mean, can you imagine? Can you just imagine?
And now it's time for Josh Reed's talking
chop. Guys, can you guys just. can you guys just. Can you guys imagine that this lineup is no longer Snitker proof? He's going to start this guy. On live TV.
Johan Camargo's never going to see the field again.
He's on base.
What are we going to do?
He's going to. Can you imagine?
He might actually let him play defense over Ozuna.
Is he trying to win?
imagine.
Can you imagine? Why would you want a guy who
I don't,
like,
or, I mean, think about this. We have the DH this year. What if he puts a guy who's number four active among all-time hits as your designated hitter? Can you imagine? Like, why would he even do that?
That's terrible, JT. Why would anyone do that?
Can you imagine?
No, right?
What if he hits doubles?
What if he gets a single, Josh? What if he hits a single?
What if he drives a guy in?
That's the worst thing you can do when you're at bat is hit a single, Josh. Don't you know that? Like, hitting singles, that's worse than getting
an
out.
It's the equivalent to an out. Yeah, it's basically like stabbing your wife, you know, from a statistical standpoint.
It is. It is. Batting average. Imagine using batting average.
Who does
that? Just imagine using batting average. Imagine how dumb you can be to use batting average. Did you guys know?
Have you even looked at his peripherals?
Not all hits are equal.
What is expected?
Did you even know that all hits are not the same?
Okay, in case there's someone out there that's living under a rock and didn't notice this, we're talking about the return of Nick Markakis out of Young Harris. Josh, you called this. You called this 3 days ago. You had a source. You had a source contact you that had a conversation with the family of Nick Markakis, and you had found out he was going to be returning to the Braves. Now, at the time, you weren't sure if he was going to be returning as a player or as a coach or exactly how he was going to be returning, but somehow you already knew he was going to be returning as a Brave, and everyone thought you were just trolling. So this was a great moment for Josh Brown, and I was proud of you, Josh. You didn't overplay your hand today. Snobbing your nose in the air. I thought you did it perfectly to the point where everyone recognizes you had your nose in the air, but you didn't like have to say, "Hey, look at my nose in the air."
Well, no one knew. I didn't even text Josh to find out if he was for real. Like, I was like, I think he's making this up. I'm not really sure. And now I feel bad because my dad texted me tonight. He goes, Nick Markakis out of Young Harris coming back to the Braves. And I could have made my dad think really highly of me if I had told him this 3 days ago. That he's coming back, and then my dad would have been like, "Whoa, my son really does know people in baseball." I would have like felt like a big timer, but yeah. I didn't because I was like, "I don't know, Josh is probably making this up." I've got no idea because I have no idea. I have some guesses as to who your source is, but
no, people tell me stuff. Yeah, this is right. The reason people tell me things is because mainly because they think it's funny. They know that when I tweet
I definitely know who your source
and
is
they just
now.
They think it's funnier than shit.
Yeah. It was.
I can tell you my source is out because he tweeted about it. So my source is at Braves fan Skip, and out of Canton, Georgia, he sent me a DM and sent me a picture of him and his little kid with cakes, and they were at a ball field somewhere in like Woodstock, and at Braves fan Skip, I'm not going to go into details, but. Knows their family and stuff, and told me that Cakes is going to come back in about 2 weeks, and I could tell he was for real and like totally legit, and so I tweeted about it, and then you know, of course,
well yeah, no one's right, like the boy who cried wolf.
I can't blame him. You know,
no one thought it was serious.
Yeah, like I texted Schultz today. I was like, "Hey Schultz, you're going to give me some credit." He's like, "Josh, for the record, you've also said." Nick Markakis is going to win a Nobel Peace Prize.
They gave one to Obama.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about why the change in his mind, Josh, while we're here talking about it. You know, because, I mean, a lot of people were hating on him already. Like, oh, my God, you were worried about your kids 2 weeks ago, and now you're not worried about your kids with COVID-19? How dare you expose your kids? F them kids.
Well, here's what I think has happened. First of all, when he opted out, he said two things. He said that he's basically doing it for the fans because without fans, this is kind of dumb. I'm paraphrasing here. That was his take. He also said he talked to Freddie and Freddie sounded really bad, you know. And so when he said that, that gave the far left, you know, Braves Twitter all the ammunition they needed to use that as a look. This is COVID. COVID's scary and bad.
Yeah.
Nick Markakis is doing the right thing, and now when he's coming. As he's coming back, those same people are like, and then when they saw the picture of him at the ball field, they were like, you know, he sounded concerned about Corona, but he doesn't look like he's concerned now. Well, I think Cakes opted out to be with family, and money's not that important to him at this point in life. And I think he assumed some stuff was going to happen on opening day and didn't really want to be a part of it, kind of, and didn't want to say anything about it and stuff. And so I don't think he planned to come back at the beginning, but I think some of that influenced his decision because he kind of didn't want to be a part of that stuff. And I totally agree. And I think that his motives now are sincere. I think he, what he said today in the press conference, I think was really cool. Like he's like, I feel like I let my guys down and they're out there like playing during all this and I'm not, and I, you know, I want to come back, and he's apologetic, and these like ball players are kind of like big kids as we are. And so when he goes in that clubhouse and addresses the team and kind of says, hey guys, I'm sorry I let you down. You know what that does? That lights a dadgum fire under their butts. And I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be off the chain, just emotionally and all that. But also, I mean, on the field, I mean, we mock it, but he's gonna be good. He's gonna get hits and get on base. He's gonna be productive, you know.
Yeah, I just want him to change his walk up music now, and when he comes back, I want somebody to rewrite it. Maybe we could rewrite it. I don't know, but I want it to be like, I just want it to drop. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. And then he goes, guess who's back? Guess Shady's back.
I want him to come out to the Undertaker's entrance theme and come out of a casket and sit up and roll his eyes back in his head.
Yeah, I can see that too. I can see that one too. Either one would be fine. That's the way, when Undertaker came back, when Undertaker came back and Randy Orton was in the ring at SummerSlam that time, JT, and the lightning hits the casket and everything, you know, Braves bloggers looked like Randy Orton and those players and all those wrestlers in the center of the ring when that happened. It was like, oh my God, Mark Hankins is back! I'm gonna die!
I'm blocked by most of them, but I feel like I've got Nakahoma Nation informants on Twitter, and so when some Braves blogger says something insanely stupid, they like know that I'm blocked, so people will just send me screenshots of the dumbest takes from people from a certain podcast.
Y'all do that for me still whenever Doc Herbert says anything, so you still send it to me, so I understand.
last thing here, and I'm sure there'll be tons of those other podcasts that dig into the optics of this and like exactly how it'll be used and how they assume Snickers is going to misuse him and all this kind of stuff.
I hope they start his ass every damn day. I hope they do. And I hope he wears like an American flag something. I don't know. Like,
The Undertaker gets better the more we go here, JT. He's like Nick Markakis, the American badass. You know, like that's the. He needs to come out on a Harley with a full on American flag with an eagle headband wrapped around his head, you know, like with a Trump shirt on that says "Make baseball great again." That's what Markakis should do. Like just full on
make base hits great again.
Heel. Yes,
I hope he comes
yes!
out as a full time DH for like 50 games. He just plays DH and he hits like 425 and just, you know, like. Where no one can deny the greatness of Nick Markakis.
Yeah, right?
Like, I hope he just comes in and just does nothing but hit baseball. Zero home runs and just a ton of, like, singles and doubles. And just obliterates the baseball. Just line drives up the middle to the gap and just hits. You don't have to worry about defense. You just come in. You're a professional ball hitter. And you go out there and you hit the ball and don't worry about anything else. And that would be fantastic, you know, to come in. Because... Look, I mean, guys need him around the locker room, man. Like, he's a leader, and yeah, they do.
They love him. The team love that guy.
And you know what? For the what he said, for the reason his coming back is, like, if you're a fan of the Braves,
if you can't get over the fact that
he's misused and he's not that good, if you can't get riled up for that, that I bailed on these guys and I made a mistake and these are my dudes and I need to be there for them, yeah.
Yeah, you're
dude,
broken.
Check your pulse, then man.
You're broken. You need to check your heart, you know, maybe get in the word and just check your life. Because
as the preacher used to say, if you can't get fired up about this, then your wood's wet. You know, it's like, you need, exciting.
I almost feel like a West Blankenship Coffee Town thing needs to be said about this. Like, damn, son. Like, you know, like.
Somebody should ask John Morosi now if the Braves are going to win the National League East, since he said that's the reason we wouldn't win the National League East was because Nick Markakis
right.
wasn't on the team.
Are we the Vegas favorites? We're the favorites in the clubhouse now, huh? It's exciting. Yeah. And to be honest with you, whatever sport it is, you want guys like that, that have that kind of attitude playing for your team, whether it's your football team, your hockey team, your basketball team, whatever. You want guys with that kind of attitude that respect the guys and their, you know, teammates that much, man. That not playing, you know, it's not about me, man. I feel like I let these guys down. Those are the guys you want to employ on your team. So statistics be damned. Those are the kind of guys you want to have in your clubhouse, regardless of the sport. You want guys with that kind 100%. Of attitude. So very excited.
100%. And so the meme lives on in 2020, fellas. 2020 is getting better every day. Let me just tell you that. And with Nick Markakis out of Young Harris being back, it's a good time. It's a great day.
It's a great day in sports. You know, to have the greatest hitter of our generation it's back on deal. The Atlanta Braves, it's a big deal. And the reason, by the way, the reason I didn't I bask a little, but the reason I didn't do it that much is because one of the things that I've learned is when you do something awesome, what you do is you act like you've already been
okay.
You Barry Sanderson, you handed the ball back to the ref. Yeah,
you fake it till you make it, right. Baby. Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's Not Combination Podcast Show. Fellas, it's always fun sitting down and talk to you. I'm glad to be back on the show, even if you do make fun of me for my takes on Helen. But I'm glad to be back on the show. So it's always an honor. Fellas,
it's been an
have
honor.
A good night.
No,
Chapo!
Namaste, too, buddy.